Cities represent humanity's greatest creation, the ultimate expression of our collective genius and folly. From the marshlands of ancient Mesopotamia to the gleaming towers of modern metropolises, urban centers have been the engines of human progress, the crucibles of innovation, and the stages upon which our greatest dramas unfold. Why have these complex social organisms captivated us for millennia? The answer lies in their remarkable ability to concentrate human energy, multiply our capabilities, and transform individual limitations into collective power. With over half of humanity now living in urban areas, and projections suggesting 68% will be city dwellers by 2050, our relationship with cities has never been more crucial to understand. The urban story begins in Uruk around 3000 BCE, where 80,000 people created humanity's first true city within 3 square miles of Mesopotamian desert. 9-kilometer walls enclosed canals, gardens, and clay pipes that discharged waste outside city limits. Windowless houses and winding streets created an urban microclimate that softened the harsh sun. Climate change drove this revolution. Rising sea levels during the Holocene climatic optimum transformed southern Iraq into food-rich marshlands around 5000 BCE. As these marshes dried, farmers migrated to the emerging city, creating unprecedented population density. Uruk became a hub for specialized craftsmen and trade networks. Materials arrived from remarkable distances. Mother of pearl from Bahrain, metals from Anatolia, lapis lazuli from Afghanistan, 1,500 miles away, and carnelian from India. The Epic of Gilgamesh, humanity's oldest written story, explores questions about urban life that still resonate. Why exchange primitive freedom for city comforts? What psychological cost comes with urban congestion? Gilgamesh concludes that while individuals die, humanity's collective achievements, the city walls and written stories, endure. Throughout history, the most successful cities have thrived on outsiders bringing new ideas and connections. Athens' 5th century BCE Golden Age stemmed from its openness, with over a third of its free population being foreign-born. The Mediterranean's geography created overlapping cultures distinct from inland predecessors. Greek civilization spread through 1,000 cities like frogs round a pond, as Plato described. The polis was more than just a city. It was a complete political, religious, and economic community where Greeks believed humanity could achieve the good life. The agora formed the heart of the Greek polis, merging commerce, entertainment, legal proceedings, and politics. Athens' democracy required physical spaces like the Pnyx, a bowl-shaped hill accommodating 6,000 citizens for weekly assembly, making popular sovereignty tangible. Despite its intellectual brilliance, Athens was physically unimpressive, with miserable old lanes and cramped housing. Yet this intimate environment, where private life yielded to public life, likely fostered the innovation and creativity that still influences our world today. Rome embodied a culture where bigger was always better. Bigger cities, buildings, ambitions, and appetites. The imperial megacity became the ultimate expression of urban power and luxury. The magnificent bathhouses epitomized this grandeur. The baths of Caracalla featured 17,000 tons of marble, 40-meter-high vaulted ceilings, and spectacular decorations. These palatial spaces were remarkably democratic, where 60,000 citizens could bathe simultaneously, complete with libraries and recreational facilities. For Romans, lavare est vivere, to bathe is to live. In a metropolis of smoky streets and cramped tenement blocks rising up to 10 stories, public baths offered vital respite from urban stress. By the 4th century, Roman cities devoted 175 days annually to public games. The Romans understood that leisure and spectacle weren't frivolities, but essential ingredients of successful metropolises. A truth rediscovered in our own cities, where cultural attractions drive urban revitalization. After the empire's fall, once great cities shrank to village size or were abandoned. Europe wouldn't recover Rome's urbanization and living standards for 1,300 years, and no city would exceed 1 million inhabitants again until 1800. As Western Europe retreated into urban insignificance, the Islamic world flourished through new urbanization, exemplified by Baghdad. In 762, Caliph al-Mansur outlined what would become the world's intellectual and commercial capital, which grew to over 1 million inhabitants in just 4 years. The city was designed as a perfect circle with 4 equidistant gates connected by straight roads to the center. "It is as though it is poured into a mold and cast," marveled al-Jahiz. At its heart stood the imperial palace with its enormous green dome, while the gates pointed toward Syria, Arabia, China, and the Indian Ocean. Baghdad's markets displayed exotic foods from around the world, with merchants organized by specialty. The intellectual explosion coincided with papermaking from China, enabling unprecedented knowledge diffusion. The Bayt al-Hikma, House of Wisdom, became the world's largest repository of manuscripts, preserving endangered knowledge. The maritime Silk Road, connecting the Persian Gulf to the Pearl River, served as a highway of learning, not just trade. Cities across the monsoon seas shared remarkable cosmopolitanism. Palamban on Sumatra became a metropolis where traders from the Abbasid Caliphate and Tang Dynasty created a multicultural urban environment rivaling today's global cities. Caffeine flows through the veins of the modern city. Coffee houses serve as third places between home and work where people can socialize, work, or be alone in public. When coffee reached London in the 1650s, it sparked an urban revolution. Within decades, London had nearly 1,000 coffee houses where, for a penny, patrons could drink coffee while reading newspapers and engaging in civil debate regardless of social rank. These establishments transformed London's economy by creating spaces for financial innovation. Jonathan's Coffee House became London's first securities exchange, while Lloyd's specialized in shipping news, eventually becoming a premier insurance market. Different coffee houses catered to specific communities: writers at Wills and Buttons, actors at Duke's, artists at Old Slaughter's, creating specialized networks citywide. 2 centuries later, industrial cities like Manchester and Chicago emerged as shock cities that both horrified and fascinated. General Charles Napier described Manchester as the entrance to hell realized, with its 500 smoke-exhaling chimneys. These rapidly growing cities lacked basic amenities, cramming families into damp cellars with minimal sanitation. Yet despite their grim conditions, industrial cities offered freedom and self-reinvention. Urban density created vibrant street life and fostered working-class organization. Manchester developed hundreds of mutual aid societies, while Chicago's immigrant communities built civic institutions that shaped American politics. Cities have always been contradictory places: utopian and dystopian, planned and chaotic, liberating and oppressive. Their energy stems from these tensions. Great cities derive vitality from accommodating both grime and glamour, high culture and street life. Today's metropolises face unprecedented challenges: climate change, inequality, technological disruption. Yet they remain humanity's greatest hope for solving these very problems. Cities concentrate human creativity and connection in ways that generate unique solutions. The next chapter of urban history depends on whether we create cities that are sustainable, equitable, and humane. Cities thrive when they embrace diversity, foster public spaces, and balance individual freedom with collective purpose. The future of humanity and our cities are inseparable.